Let's pray over the Word. Father, I thank You so much for the Word of God. The Word of God is what heals and makes whole. It's what delivers the soul. And Father, this morning I ask that You anoint the ears of the listeners, and Father, that You anoint the lips of the speaker, so that between the two much can be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about developing the Spirit, which you don't hear much teaching on. Matter of fact, now that I've been teaching on it, I begin to understand why a lot of believers in this particular area, a lot of things go over their heads, because basically the church has not taught predominantly the issue of developing the Spirit. Mainly because the church itself had gotten to the point where we're more concerned about blessing the outward man that we seem to forget there's an inward man we're accountable to as well. And we brought out how the Word of God is the only way that a definition can be brought to our understanding of how we're made up as a tripart being. We are a soul, we have a spirit, and we live in a body. And we've been bringing out and correcting terminology. Just because a man gets born again does not mean that his redemption is brought to a completed state until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is our physical body. We're going to receive a glorified body in the future. How many of you know that? Praise God. And then this one will be putting off, and we'll be putting on a new glorified body. But in the meantime, we have a soul and we have a spirit. And it's the spirit, the part of us that got born again. And that's the part of us that was complete in Christ. And then part of our inward man is what we term the soul. And we identified the fact that the soul is what you are as a personality, as a person. And God gave that which you are in your soul an immaterial substance. And He placed it in an immaterial substance called spirit or spirit body. We brought out also that you only have one soul, but it has two parts to it, and that's where the Word of God is so helpful. Thank God for the Word of God. Say that with me. Thank God for the Word of God. Because without the Word of God, there's no way to tell our soul from our spirit. Now, because in the past we've used terminology stating just because a guy's born again, and nothing has to be done to his spirit because it's recreated. There's nothing more that needs to be done to it. It's the soul that needs saving. Then we've gone on and taught how the soul is responsible for delivering itself. And the soul is not responsible for delivering itself because it doesn't know how to deliver itself. And we looked at scriptures that identify that very clear. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity, hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, if that's the case, then let's look at another scripture that kind of identifies our soul. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned, scrutinized, understood. And so we see from these two scriptures that the soul, or the natural man, cannot comprehend nor even search out the things of God. But thank God for the new birth, because the new birth is the means through which we're able to search out all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we've been taught in some of them verses that it's the Holy Ghost that does the searching for us. If that was the case, we'd all be a whole lot better off. But the real case is that it's your human spirit that has to search out the deep things of God. The translator just put a capital S where it should have left it alone. Our translators kind of mess up our understanding a lot of times. And God has a real difficult time getting things across to us because of terminology and the misuse of terminology and the misuse of translating things. And so when I found out that it was up to my spirit to search out the deep things of God, and it was up to the Holy Spirit to transfer that information to my spirit, then what good is the soul? And that's where we're going to start covering the issue right now. What good is the soul if the soul can't be renewed and it can only be purged? What good is the soul? Well, first of all, thank God you have a soul, because that is you. Praise God. I mean, without the soul, you know, we always term the soul mind, will, emotions, and intellect. But listen, it goes far, far deeper than that. The soul is you. The soul is Art Valenzuela. Hallelujah. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Art Valenzuela. Hallelujah. But one thing that Art Valenzuela has with his soul is a spirit. And the spirit has been made in the likeness of the Spirit of Christ, glory to God, that dwelt in him. Now you possess it. Praise God. What was true in him is now true in you. You have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you at the new birth. Hallelujah. But the minute that light came in and you were circumcised in your spirit, you were cut away from your flesh. Your spirit now has a separate identity in the fact that it now has a capacity to search out the deep things of God, but you've got to be the one to do something about this searching, because your life has been given to your soul, not your spirit. Now, God purchased your spirit for the sake of you searching out the deep things of God. Now, I want to clarify what I meant by that, by making this blanket statement. I want you to concentrate on it for a moment. The soul has a mind of its own. The soul has a mind of its own. What mind is that? You. The spirit has a mind not of its own. The spirit has a mind not of its own. Why? Because it has to be renewed in order to dominate and control the soul of you. So your spirit and your spiritual part of the soul, which is your spiritual mind, God touched that because God designed you from day one. The minute He created Adam, He designed all of us to have a part of us that can contact God, and that is the realm of our spirit. And see, the thing that we have taught people is when we get born again, our spirit is now in control. No, your soul is always in control, even of your spirit. What you have to do, by humility, you have to cloak your natural life and turn it over to God, your spirit over to God. Turn your spirit over to God, not your soul. Not your natural life, your spiritual life. It has to be turned over to God. It has to be given to God. And then what happens is when you do the very thing that you need to do, is turn your spirit over to God, then God will give you back your soul in a purging process. Glory to God. Yes. See. And when I learned that principle, I said, my God, this is so different than what I understood. I always been told that it's the soul that needs renewed, not your spirit, because your spirit's been made brand new. Well, I understand now that when I got into scriptures and I didn't understand certain scriptures that really begin to talk about my spiritual mind being renewed, not my soul, it's only purged. Matter of fact, W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary, here about 3 weeks ago, I read Vine's Expository Dictionary on Ephesians 4:23. Turn there. Ephesians 4:23. And Ephesians 4:23... we have been taught, and books have been written, that that particular passage right there, and I feel sorry for those who have written books that did not have this understanding. They'd said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful desires, semicolon, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have books written that's talking about attitude. Your attitude has to be renewed. And when I looked at it in light of the text, I was a little confused because it read a little differently in the Greek language. And so, after I'd read it in the language, it put a little different slant on it. And so I had made the decision that this verse is literally telling me where my mind is being renewed. Not attitude, but locating the place of where renewal is really taking place. How many of you are following what I'm saying? And it does not say suke here. It literally says in the renewal of the spirit of my mind. The spirit of my mind. Well, you only have one soul, but in your soul you have what you call a conscious and subconscious mind. Your conscious mind is suke, the lower part of your life, and your spiritual side is pneuma, is your higher form of living. Are you following what I'm saying? And again, I want to reiterate that your soul is in control. Your spirit is available to serve you or serve God. Are you following me? Now, I made the decision. That's not referring to attitude, because how can wrong attitude correct and make right attitude out of wrong attitude? It's only just thought processes. It's only just power of the mind. You follow what I'm saying? And so, just here, two or three weeks ago, I just, out of just looking up Renewed, I ran across W.E. Vine's expository, and here's what he had to say about it. He said, the renewal here mentioned is not that of the natural mind in its natural powers, but the spirit of the mind, which is under the controlling power of the indwelling Holy Spirit that directs its energies Godward in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and in the fulfillment of the will of God. Glory to God. You want me to read that again to you? He said, the renewal here mentioned is not that of natural energies or powers of a natural mind or in the natural powers, but the spirit of the mind, which is under the controlling power of the indwelling Holy Spirit that directs its energies Godward in fellowship with the Father and Son and in the fulfillment of the will of God. Now, I have learned, especially these last 2 years, I have learned how to pull the mind of God out of Scripture. And I've learned to shut my soul down and allow my spirit to search. Now, a lot of people don't know how to do that, and a lot of people are not called to pull the mind of God out of the realm of the Spirit because they're not called to be teachers. But every one of us has been called to understand spiritual things. And what's going to help you to understand spiritual things is you've got to be consistent in your prayer life with God. You've got to be in fellowship with God so that when the Word of God does come forth, whether it's directly as a fellowship that you have with God or it's fellowship that another man has had with God and transferring to you spiritual insight. And again, I told one minister one day, I says, listen, you need to quit saying that I always preach something over your head. You need to put springs on your shoes and jump up and let what I say get into your head. And the reason a lot of us are so blind when it comes to the things of God, we are receiving the Word of God through the glory of a man rather than the Holy Spirit. And that's been our problem. We look at another minister and everything, we look at his glory, and then whatever he says validates what is truth. And there's a lot of ministers out there preaching things that is not truth. They're writing books that is not truth. No, sir. The church has been subject to the Holy Spirit, not the glories of men, period, over and out. Because what is Paul and what is Apollos? One plants, one waters, but it's what God can give an increase to. And these ministers couldn't give an increase to me spiritually if it meant hell freezing over. And so I got to thinking, well, gee, this is kind of a negative attitude because then you think you know everything. But truth is truth. Wherever it comes from, the only thing I know that whatever I've learned the last 2 years, and not because of Jan Butler and his intellect, why I left it out. It's because of what God was able to birth in my spirit apart from me, no glory given to me. Anything that I accomplish in God has nothing to do with what I have done. It's all what God has done in my heart for the sake of His kingdom, period, over and out. And false humility is when you take the glory for yourself. Now, a lot of us do not really recognize the vulnerability of the soul. We don't understand how vulnerable this part of us is. The soul is the joint, according to Hebrews 4:12, is a joint that connects this realm and the spiritual realm. Well, how it connects the spiritual realm is a part of my soul is spiritual. And how it connects this natural realm is a part of my soul is psuche, this natural realm. That's why Jesus said to Peter and all the disciples, he said, Peter and all the disciples, he said, Peter, you didn't come up with this revelation of who I really am. He said, save my Father gave it to you. And then he talked about the gates or government structure of satanic powers. And he said, really, he tells you really the key of even coming against the satanic system. When we shared this already with you, the key is for you not to live your Christianity out of your soul, but to live it out of your spirit so it dominates or purges the natural life of yours. Amen? Now, What happens is, if you keep your soul, after you get born again, and you keep your soul more in this realm rather than in the spiritual realm, guess what's going to happen? Your soul is going to be affected by whatever realm you give it to. It's either going to be more spiritual because you give your spirit over to God to dominate your natural life, or you just flat acknowledge Christ, got born again, you love Him very much, but you ain't got time for Him right now. You following me? And you know what? God called you into His kingdom for one thing and one thing only, that He has a preeminence in everything in your life. He has a preeminence of everything in your life. You are to become a good servant or a good slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been laboring in the field all day and you come in and your master says, before you fix you your dish, you fix mine first. Then you can sit down and eat. You think that that good servant would sit there and argue with his master? He would turn around and say, yes, master, I will give you my meal first. I don't care whether I got soot all over me or dirt all over me. I'm going to serve you first and then I'll serve myself. And Jesus said, that's a good master. You know what God wants to do? He wants you to turn you into a good master. You got to learn to give your all. But I've learned something about my soul. My soul is sick. And if it ain't purged, it could even take me right back to where it came from, which is hell. Now, Luke 21:19, Jesus made a statement. He said, in your patience, possess your souls. Did you know that when you're believing God for something, it's in the area that your soul talks the most, is when you're trying to be patient about something? You know why? Your soul, your natural life, has a mouth, and it's a big mouth, and it only knows facts, and it only knows questions. That's all it knows. Now, I thought it was very interesting. I had brought out Wednesday night, talking about that soul over in Romans chapter 8, which I thought was very interesting. The Greek tense literally says that the carnal mind is in active hostility against God. And in the tense there, it literally says, whenever you give yourself to a law of God, that soul starts questions and facts. Questions and facts. How many of you have believed for healing? How many of you have had, in the midst of believing for healing, because you are sick, all of a sudden a mind or a voice that says, how can you do that? You're not well. Can you feel? Can you see? But then what good does it do to rely upon the promises of God for healing if all you can do is listen to facts and questions? Well, that's what the carnal mind does. It's actively hostile. And did you know this word for the action on this particular verse is not referring to history in the past? It's not referring to history in the future? It's referring to present action. Why present action? Because presently you've received the law of God, and in that present action of receiving a law of God, that mouth, that soul begins to talk about facts and begins to bring up questions every time. Every time! And we've got to learn how to control our soul so it can receive spiritual insight. Now, that's why the Bible says, in your youth, possess your soul. Do you know what that means? When you get born again and you're new and fresh in God, the first thing you got to realize is you got to learn how to take control of your natural life through God and His Word. Did you know that it's very interesting how adults, they want to make sure, and the church does, wants the parents to make sure, get your kids when you're young, and they won't depart from God when they grow old. Well, that's a principle that still works for us adults. In your youth, possess your soul. You know, I've seen Christians bubble, and fizz with Jesus when they first get born again. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love the Lord. And then later on, oh, yeah. Then later on, Then later on. Well, what's happening? Well, there's a process beginning to happen. It's called death in the spirit and takeover in the soul realm. What happens? Well, they begin to lose identity of who is still in control. And God spoke to me this morning and says, I want you to share with your church how to identify the area that the soul is taking over in after a man's been born again and on fire for God. Okay, number one, the soul begins to lose interest in the things of God. The soul always does. Why? Because it's more natural than spiritual. So, number one, Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. The word for preeminence means to be first. Listen, that soul begins this process, and it might step on some of your toes, and if it does, good. Number one, no fellowship. Prayer begins to quit. When your soul begins to lose interest, you don't desire to pray. Backslid believers don't pray. They try to fit God into their schedule. That's the next step. They start reasoning in their church attendance, and the cares of the world start entering in. They seem to lose peace because the carnal mind is not life and peace. The spiritual mind is. So they lose interest for church, especially in their financial commitment. That begins to go. They don't like being around Christians all of a sudden. They start avoiding church friends. They're again easily influenced by sinners. They look for excuses to avoid Christian fellowship or activities. They start looking for excuses to reason their offenses because they start taking a lot of offenses. Really, at this stage, they would rather back completely out of any Christian commitment. Now, they start looking to the Word to validate their position of sin, of complacency and indifference towards the kingdom by using the Word of God, the Word of grace, for their acceptance. They don't want to change their attitude towards God. They want now to find a way for acceptance where they're at. And this is a form of Christian denial. This is where you start moving out of God rather than in. Then old habits begin to reappear, lying, fighting, emotional outbursts. This includes gossiping and strife and envy. And in the home where one is in fellowship and the other is out of fellowship, guess what happens? Fighting becomes more frequent. Fighting becomes more frequent. You got fighting in your home right now? Let me step right on your toes. Your soul is in control. They start wanting to attend a church that doesn't challenge them spiritually to grow, but leaves them alone or meets their natural man's desires. At this stage, they're already beginning to deny the faith. They're now cauterizing their God consciousness. Psalms 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." This word for converting here means to turn it back around and back towards God. Today, there's some of you that need to turn around and get your spiritual life back in line with God and start denying that natural, that soul. Hallelujah. How many of you ever really seen the popularity on television about godly suffering and mortification, the death of the flesh? You don't hear hardly any of that. Matter of fact, I haven't really heard a good sermon on any of it. Why? After all, we're supposed to look for the windows of heaven to pour out upon us, you little God robbers, you. You know, we're more concerned about that which is natural than that which is spiritual. Again, I want to tell you, Proverbs 22:5 says that there's thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. So, Pastor, what good really is the soul if it can't renew itself and it has to be purged? Then what position do I put my soul in? You cloak it in humility. You clothe it in humility and you allow the Word of God that is in your lap contact your spirit realm so the Holy Spirit can bring to life what is God has already done in you. And then it will begin to deliver your soul. There's a lot of Christians, I just want to be on fire for God. Well, quit giving yourself over to the non-fire area. You don't go out in the desert and ask for a fire. You go to where there is one. You don't go in the middle of an ocean and say, I want fire! Wrong place! You got to go where there's fire. Well, where there's fire in you is in the realm of your spirit. You turn your spirit over to God and just praying in tongues, praying in the spirit, and guess what? There's going to be a fire that's going to get on the inside of you. You want to get on fire for God? Where do you think that voice comes from? Your soul. Man, your soul's what don't want to get on fire for God. It's your spirit that wants to get on fire for God. Jesus told his disciples, come and pray with me. Come and pray with me just 1 hour. And he goes off and he starts praying again in probably his greatest hour of need and surrender. And he turns around and he hears a... And you know what Jesus said? Their spirits are willing, but their flesh is weak. They have a willingness about them, but their flesh is weak. Thank God for the new birth. Why? God did the best thing he could for you. He built a campfire on the inside of you, and now he's just waiting for you to get there. get warm, get hot, and burn out for God. But a lot of us, we're not really there. Why? Well, we like our darkness rather than our light. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Until you learn to possess that soul and make it do the will of God, you're not going to be on fire. You know what our problem is, people? We've been churched. We've got church history. We've been churched. So we need to make a decision. Well, what good is the soul then? I'll tell you what good the soul is. It's not to study God. It's to assimilate the Word of God. That's all. It is to meditate in the Word day and night. It is to speak it out your mouth, roll it over in your mind. Why? Because in the consistency of the environment that you put your soul in, it will become familiar with God. But here's the good news. Your spiritual mind picks up that meditation as well at the same time. And if you keep putting it there, then the Holy Spirit will begin to give answers to what your soul is just assimilating. You're to never study God's Word. You're to put your soul in a position to receive from your spirit the mind of God. But you have to cloak it in humility. But see, we've been taught that our soul is what searches God. No, it's your spiritual part of your mind that searches God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's establish that in closing, and we'll get back into it next week. If you listen to what I'm saying, it'll turn your whole life around. I was a backslid minister for several years. Until I began to realize that I had no fellowship with my Lord like I needed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice this. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of things God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit is what searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And what I was told is the word for Spirit there is the Holy Ghost. Well, isn't that interesting? Your spiritual mind doesn't have really any say-so. It's your soul that has say-so. But you've got to turn your spirit, the part of your mind that's spiritual, you've got to turn that over to search out the deep things of God. Well, how do you do that? Well, you just cloak your soul in humility and just assimilate the Word of God and let God reveal Himself. You know why God can't reveal Himself to a lot of people? Because they're trying to interpret God through their soul rather than getting into a position to let God reveal Himself. Isn't that a revelation? We'll stop there. Did you get something here this morning?